So exactly how is that? How does that work? Have you ever done it, Matt?
No, yeah. I've just, I'm lurking on the, reddit.com/r/secret santa right now. Mm-hmm. So
got it.
So, but it looks like you got to get it done by the, Friday, December 20th.
Okay.
So
what does that mean? You've got to order it from Amazon and have it delivered by then or
something, I mean, to that effect.
How do you get the gift to your secret Santa?
Oh, let me see if there's a wiki or something on here.
Okay.
I just was looking down. It's like somebody got some dog treats from, or, well, some Korean snacks and some stuff headed to Texas and so on and so forth. Some cheese.
So, okay. So the first step is sign up and get matched.
Yep.
And that's not clickable. How do you do this? Let's see. It's,
you're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. Call in with your holiday questions, 963-2976.
Yes, we will guide you towards the correct technological gift. I've actually got a great article pulled up. Got a call already. Look at that.
You're on with the geeks.
Hey, this is Joe in Carbondale, and I have a question. My Apple desktop, the Safari, got hijacked by Bing Search Manager.
All right.
Safe Search. So what happens is it only lets me search Yahoo, and it's...
Well, it's not Yahoo, though.
Yeah, it only looks like Yahoo.
It only looks like Yahoo. So I've looked it up a couple of times, and they told me how to get rid of it, but I cannot find all the incidences, so it just keeps coming back.
Got it. Have you tried using like a prepackaged tool like Malwarebytes by any chance?
No, that was what I was going to ask. Is Malwarebytes the best one to use?
I have pretty good luck with it.
I've had good luck with it on particularly on a Mac.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
So.
Every help site offers their own program to do.
Oh yeah, of course. they all want to sell you something, and then they say, well, if you don't want to buy that, and then they give you this really ridiculous list of instructions that nobody would, not even I would persevere through.
Yeah, you know? They're all so different.
Yeah, no. Download and install Malwarebytes, and I'd say about 98% of the malware threats that I've encounter on Macs, it usually takes care of it. So,
okay. Can you get rid of it once you get rid of it, or should you just keep it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the free version does not run resident on your computer. So, it shouldn't be a problem I think you should be able to just delete it, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So run the free version first and then.
Yeah, there's not. The difference between the free version and the paid version is largely one runs like a. Has a virus scanner. That's what he was saying about resident program. So there's some things that run in the background that basically keep track of. So if the malware tries to come back in through whatever website it came in through, it'll hopefully block it. Otherwise, it'll be able to remove it after it's reasserted itself.
Yeah, the resident version draws on a database that Malwarebytes provides, and it's constantly updating. And it's always kind of looking like half a step down the road when you're out on the internet. And so if you're about to stumble into a nest of hornets or something, it'll pop up and it'll go, yeah, I don't think you want to go there.
That would be nice.
Yeah, it is nice. It's $29 a year, I think, or something like that. I'm kind of a cheapskate. I just go for the free version.
I have one other question. What do you think of the Brave browser? Because it seemed like it didn't get infected.
Huh? I've used Brave on my... mobile devices, and it's been really good on the mobile devices. I do have it installed on my computers, but I've mostly switched to Firefox at this point. But Brave seems like a really nice prepackaged ad blocking / anti-tracking browser to work with.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'll tell you the truth. I'm going to get educated here. I've never heard of it. Is it on all platforms? Is it available for all platforms?
Pretty much.
It's called Brave?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
It has Tor. If you want to use Tor, it'll let you use that.
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with that. So, okay. Well, I'll check that out, and I'll report back. So,
okay. Yep. And
so,
all right. Give me some Malwarebytes.
Yeah, man.
It does bite. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Yeah.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976.
Call in. Get your questions answered. Otherwise, we'll just talk about great tech gifts. So I was looking, one of the ones I was looking at here, Matt, was it's a device called Fixd, F-I-X-D. And you were saying you've got a similar device that you put in your car. And you tie it into the electronic diagnostic system of your car?
Yeah,
is that how it works?
The ODB2 port.
Oh, that's very technical.
Yeah. So you put it in there, it supplies power to the device.
Uh-huh.
And then it has Bluetooth, and you run the app on your phone and find the device, and it says, hey, your code is a 3190.
Okay.
So you'll always be able to look up the code, figure out what's going on, because I had to go through installing a fuel pump on my Prius recently.
Mm-hmm. So let's back up. How difficult was it to connect the device to your car's? Nope. Is it like right under the dashboard? There's just like a plug. You just...
Yeah, so on the Prius, it's like straight under the steering wheel, almost dead center, just right at the bottom there. You look up on there, it looks kind of like a... what is that, an LD? The old printer port.
Okay.
Kind of looks like that.
Okay. Centronics?
Yeah, the old Centronics. Okay. Similar to that one, but the shape's the same. The connector's obviously quite different. It's a 25-pin connector as opposed to being those rails. But
Got it.
But anyway, it looks like that. You plug it in, and I also plugged it in on my my Honda. It came right up and said, hey, here's what's going on. So
yeah.
Definitely... I ended up going out and buying like one from a store that you do firmware and stuff. I just wanted a standalone unit
for when you're actually working on your car,
right?
Not like when you're going down the road and your car is like, you're like only burning 70% of the gas or whatever, type of thing. Not real time, like while you're driving, right?
The one I used didn't look like it had real time. Storage. Yeah. The one I bought that's standalone does have that function. So
got it.
But it'll at least give you your codes. If you pay the yearly or monthly fee for the one I looked at or came with the car, you could clear the code and it'd give you a little more additional information about what the code meant.
Got it. Okay.
So, but definitely handy for when the light comes on. You can go, it's a, you might, if you just don't pay for it, you have the free version, you just go, that's, at least I know the code.
Yeah, got it. And then you can Google it.
Right. And then you can go, that list is very long.
Nice. So let's see. One of the next ones that I thought was just being a glasses wearer is a NASA designed, it's called Peeps. And it's basically a high-tech glasses cleaner. And let's see, I was trying to find out just exactly what the trade secret of it is, but I think it says something about Peeps carbon technology. So it uses some sort of carbon technology to clean your glasses. And
I don't know. I've got to the point with my glasses, I just use a little bit of dishwashing detergent and some hot water in the sink and just scrub them with that, and it takes pretty much everything off as long as you get the water nice and hot and you dry them off quickly. It's as good as anything I've used.
I've personally damaged enough pairs of glasses because I used the wrong detergent on one of my pairs of glasses, and it was one of those that had the anti-glare coating. And all of a sudden it started blistering. And the lenses are the most expensive part. So it's like all of a sudden, you just spent $270 on a new set of lenses. That's great, So anyway, I might get some of those and beta test them for everybody. And this is one that do you ever lose your car keys? Like you're on your way out the door and you can't find your car keys? Has that ever happened to you?
I try not to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Put them in the same place every time.
There's nothing more frustrating, though, when you're, in a hurry to get out the door. And so there's a thing called KeySmart. And it basically allows you to mount your keys into a device that looks something like a Leatherman tool. And it's basically, it's a couple screws on either end, and they fold in.
Okay, I think I've seen a version of that somewhere. Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. But then they have like on steroids version of it, which
can you whistle at
is KeySmart Pro. No, you can basically pull up the KeySmart Pro app on your phone, and you basically using GPS will tell you where your keys are. So that's pretty handy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yep. And let's see. Got some noise-blocking headphones. Oh, I thought this one was... We were just looking at this right before the show. This thing is called... I don't know how it's pronounced. It's D-O-D-O-W. Dodow or Dodow. And it basically, this thing supposedly helps you go to sleep. And it's doesn't... There are no hypodermic needles involved or anything. Like some of the other solutions that people use to go to sleep. It is a device that broadcasts a, it projects a soft blue light onto your ceiling that expands and retracts. When you breathe along with the light as it fades in and out, it helps you relax and calm your mind. It reduces your breaths per minute by 55%, which in turn slows your heart rate. And within 8 minutes, you'll probably be fast asleep. So, sound weird? It actually works, according to them. So,
I was wondering if blue was the best choice since it might mess with your circadian rhythm.
Hmm. Well, it must be a specially engineered blue light. That's all I can guess.
I mean, as long as it's not too bright, it should be okay. Mm-hmm. But green might be well, they just do RGB and then they can do whatever color they want.
Yep. So coming in at number 13, skipping around, is the one we were talking about, which is the tooth whitener that powers off of your mobile phone. And so it's a special whitening tray, and you put some of their special, you just put their special cleaner, whitener into it. And put it in your mouth and then plug it in. And it has an LED light, which I guess helps lighten or whiten teeth. So do you have any kind of jumping to number four? Do you have any kind of RFID protection on your credit cards?
No, I don't know that any of my credit cards have the
chip,
the touch.
Got
the touch chip.
That's true. You do have to have that in order for it to be a thing.
Yeah, so I remember looking at some of the early ones. If you looked on the specific part of the card, you could see the antenna embedded in the plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically it's this big square snake that goes into a little square in the middle.
Okay.
So you can look on your card. If you get it in the right light, you might be able to see artifacts from the antenna being embedded in the plastic.
Got it.
And then you'll know, or it'll say RFID on it.
It sounds like a lot of trouble to go to just so you could be that lazy and just tap your card on the thing, you know. But
I'm wondering if it would hold, you know, I guess the one advantage I could think of is that it would hold up better, you know, because you don't have that physical touch of the contacts for the chip or or the physical contact for the mag strip.
Yeah.
So that's the only big advantage I can think of is, you know, you take your card out of your wallet, you just simply get it near the device. You don't even necessarily have to touch it. And then you put it back in your wallet.
Yeah.
So then you're at a point where, you know, you don't have as much wear on the device.
Got it.
But at the same time, you have the security problem of you have this big antenna, and if people have the right tools so they can be, you know, a couple of feet away from you and get that information off, get an authorization off that chip.
Yeah.
Non-contact, where the other ones you have to have a contact for.
Got it. You know, the biggest threat to my credit cards is my wallet. I've got this wallet. Oh, we got another call coming in.
You're on with the Geeks.
Hey, I'm enjoying your program. I got a question for you. I am looking for a solar-powered cell phone charger that can also do a Mac laptop, like a MacBook Air. And I don't want anything large, but I see some of the solar-powered ones out there that are about the size of an oversized iPhone. Is there one out there that can charge not only a phone, but, a MacBook Air?
Well, so... I guess we'd have to. Do you know what the wattage requirements for a MacBook Air is off the top of your head, or Louis?
I don't have it memorized.
I think it's 65.
Is it 65 watts? So
I think it's 65.
That's a pretty big. If you're going to, you know, in adverse conditions, you need a pretty good sized chunk of photovoltaics to get 65 watts out of it. You'd probably have to find a device that had a smaller, you know, that wasn't a 65 watt solar panel, because I think a 65 watt solar panel is something like probably 2x4 feet. If you wanted to get a full 60.
Yeah, I see some of them fold out.
But to me, I don't know, the whole idea of having something small and contained like that is the direction I want to go, and I just wanted to find out if there's something I haven't seen yet that you know about.
I'd probably look for one that has an integrated battery, so you just sort of set it out during the day. So, you know, you go, so like you get up, put it on a rock facing south, let it sit there and charge all day, and then it should have a big enough battery to store the, you know, because over the course of a day, if you can do like 20 watts for 6 or 8 hours, you can probably get enough juice to charge up your laptop for evening use off grid.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, I think the challenge is that most of the, like the truly portable solar panel, you know, charging devices like this are focused around powering 12 volt devices like cell phones and, you know,
5 volt device,
you know, or GPSs, things like that, are at least 12 volts max. And the problem is most laptops are charging at 19 volts. And so the drain's just going to be, you know, monumental on it.
Okay.
And
well, I'll go back to the drawing board. But I like the idea of having something that's like kind of like a survival tool as well.
Yeah,
and all of these little chargers have pretty nice little lights on them and other features. So I guess I'd better just go with that and be happy with charging my iPhone.
Now, have you explored the idea of like going, because they do make, you know what a power bank is?
Yeah, I think I do.
Yeah, so it's basically it's an auxiliary battery. You know,
yeah.
So you basically, they do make a 65 watt power bank that, you know, you can charge up at home and take with you, so you have that extra little, you know, so many hours worth of extra running time.
Well, and the newer and the newer ones, if you find a USB-C one that'll do 35 watts or 60 watts output, will charge and run a laptop, you know, especially a MacBook Air.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, because what you can do is kind of, you could trickle charge that with your photovoltaics, your solar panels during the day, you know, or over the course of a couple of days, and then, you know, give your Mac a full charge. Or the other option is you could kind of treat it the other way around, where you keep your MacBook charged, and then you run it off of the power bank, so you're not losing an additional amount of inefficiency charging the Mac battery.
Okay. And then one last thing. I just got one of those fixed-it devices you were talking about. I found the input on my old 2000 Chrysler Sebring. I got it plugged in, but the only problem is that you can't just really do it without having a good supply, like a... have your phone plugged in. That's what I find right now. But you have to have some kind of a Wi-Fi source to really make it work, unless I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah, it seems like it does go. It takes that data and puts it out on the internet to get the information, as opposed to having the database on the phone. But not 100% on that one.
All right. Yep. Okay. Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one. Take care.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
All right, so I was just looking up the MacBook Air, so it's it needs a 30-watt USB-C power adapter.
Oh, the newer ones.
The new one.
Okay.
I just went to the Apple website and looked
Got
up
it.
The specs. So it comes with a 30-watt USB-C power adapter, which should be really easy to a new USB-C power bank should be in that ballpark pretty easily, especially one of the larger ones.
Yep, agreed. So, yeah. Well, that's cool stuff. It's have you ever seen one of those solar panels that rolls up?
Yeah.
It's I've never really checked out the specs on those, but it's sounds pretty cool. So, yeah, you know, laptops are still just kind of like right above the break point. You know, I was surprised. You know, you remember when Steve Skinner had that electric truck?
That
he used to drive around. And we were at some sort of a, you know, it was like a renewable energy event at the park here in Carbondale one year. And, you know, he went over and, you know, was proud to plug his electric truck into the solar array that's on top of the picnic shelter at the park there. And I think it was a 4-hour event, and he got 6% charged, you know, just and that's a big array. Or, well, you know, it's not huge, but it's you know,
it's probably a couple of kilowatts.
You know, it covers the whole, you know, the whole thing. And so, yeah, he's like, wow, only I got 6%. He's like, I got enough to drive home. So it's it really drove it home to me just how much power, or, you know, how, I guess, just basically how many panels you need to really get a huge, you know, power
hit, yeah,
you know, off of. So I know this, my terminology is horrible there. So, yeah.
Well, you're talking maybe 10% efficiency. So you lose, you know, 90% of the light energy coming into the device. And there are, you know, the very best are 30% and 50%, but mm-hmm. I think most of the consumer ones are, you know, 10 yep. to 15. We'd have to go, I'd have to go yep. look, but yeah, you know, you're talking about 1,000 watts per square meter, give or take. And yeah. so then you get 100 watts, and so yeah. you need a lot of space to get enough juice to run a car. They yeah. go through a tremendous amount of power.
Definitely. Well, you know, now that I'm a homeowner, I'm going to be looking into putting PV panels. I mean, the idea of being, of selling electricity to the town of Newcastle, that sounds pretty good to me. So it's, I'm definitely going to be looking into that. So, and I, this house, I am just blown away by the amount of southern exposure I've got. I've just really, I mean, today the sun came up fairly early and we were getting great solar gain on it. I was kind of thinking we were down in a hole, but it's actually been really good. So we were looking at this heads up display for your portable phone. That's a pretty cool idea. That's a little transparent screen. It's called Visor, V-I-Z-R. And they're selling it as a accessory for your GPS. So you can basically put your phone right above the console, and it's got this little transparent, semi-transparent screen. And you can basically see your GPS output right there. Right in front of you. So you're not looking down, you're not looking to the side, you're looking straight forward. And so you can see the bumper of the car you're getting ready to crash into right through your phone. So
that sounds pretty nice, because the lady's always like too early or too late. And then so you end up like wanting to look at the screen to see when the blue line actually turns left.
Uh-huh.
So you can just, you know, glance down and say, oh, it's coming up in about 500 feet or 400 feet. Or
yeah.
is it the first light or the second one? Cause I can't read the thing. Or you have one yep. of those funny things where it's like you have Independence yep. Street and Liberty Street.
Yeah.
You know, on yeah, one side or the other.
That's probably one of my biggest beasts with GPS, is it just that slight latency. You know?
Yeah. It's either too early or too late. And there's yeah. never the sweet spot. It's like, oh, the turn lane starts in about, yeah. you know, 75 in about 2 seconds. Yeah. Let's say turn left yeah. right then.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm always very literal. I always turn right when it says turn.
And then you're about 600 feet early.
And then my wife's like, no, the other left. So, and then you end up like mucking around in some little, you know, parking lot or something. You know,
yeah. And then having to go around the block, it's the one yeah. way. And
or there's a divided highway. Yeah. So exactly.
Yeah. Some kind of fun.
Yeah. So yeah, that might be a good one to get. Oh, here we go. This thing's called Extra PC. Make your old slow computer like new again.
Does it install Linux?
I'm going to roll my eyes on that one. It's like, does it take the place of your mechanical hard drive? That's the question. So we're not even going to go there on that one. So, a wireless tiki torch speaker. It's got a full on light show. It's a USB or a Bluetooth. It's called Tiki Tunes.
Oh, darn. I was hoping the port, like it had an actual tiki torch and had the base port up into the flame. So it wiggled the flame. Nice.
Oh, it might. I don't know. They don't show it in action, but it looks pretty cool. So, yeah. So those of you who are looking for a new experience for listening to music, check out Tiki Tunes. And, here you go. Here's a drone. It's a drone that fits in the palm of your hand. Have you ever seen one of those before? Drone X Pro. Affordable, foldable, lightweight, and unique drone. Great beginner's drone, makes a perfect gift for those who like outdoor adventure. It's different from all the drones out there because it's very user-friendly. It's independent and can fly by itself in several predetermined ways. I don't like predetermined. don't like that idea, but you can also command the drone to follow you or to focus on you, even if you're on the move. The idea is simply telling the drone to follow you and capture your adventures. How cool is that? So there's like they wasted another perfectly good 25 minutes of their lives listening to Geek Speak. So,
all right. Let's see. When will we be back?
We will be back
on the 7th. Or no, excuse me, on the 6th, looks like.
6th of January.
Yep, we'll be back on the 6th of January.
Everybody have a great Christmas.
And a happy new year.
I hope you get all the gadgets that you want. And you call us when you can't get them to work right after Christmas. So
you've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louis, the computer guy.
Hey, thanks for running the board, Matt.
Absolutely.
Merry Christmas.
Have a safe and happy new year.